Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to episode 18 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Thank you for joining me this morning while I sip my cup of coffee and let you know what's going on with me. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And you can join our Ravelry group, it's the Kitchen Stitches group, on Ravelry, obviously, and I would love to have you there. I know we've gotten a few new members, and I'm sorry I didn't jot down names to introduce them. Of course, actually, I haven't had anybody introduce themselves. I know we have some new members, so I would love it if you would join or chime in on the introductions thread and introduce yourself and let us know who you are, and love to get some conversation started. Again, like I said, it would be good if I'd start it, but as we know, I'm terrible at Ravelry boards. So, let's see. This is going to be a short one. I think now that I'm trying my best to do them weekly, they will probably stay a bit shorter just because I don't have as much to talk about. It's also been a very slow week in the kitchen, so there's really not much to talk about there. I'm going to catch you up on what I've been up to, some finished objects, some whips, our Christmas All Year Long cowl, and in the kitchen, which is super short this week. So let's get started with what I've been up to. I talked last week about going out to the Brazos Bend State Park, and we did that again this weekend. Late Saturday afternoon. My husband and daughter and I and a friend of my daughter's went out to Brazos Bend for an early evening hike, and we did about 2 miles, which was really nice, and then ended our walk by walking up to the observatory. There's an observatory in the state park that is run by Houston Museum of Natural Science. And my husband, I don't know that I have mentioned on here, is an amateur astronomer. He's an amateur astronomer, but he actually has taught and will teach again next year astronomy in high school and is involved in other astronomy workshops and stuff. So he's amateur astronomer, but a little step above. He doesn't do it for a living, but he is more than a novice. And when we get a chance, we like to go out to the observatory, but we don't go out that often. It's very, very busy. And he does volunteer out there occasionally. So if we go with him, I tell him to go incognito because I don't want to be stuck out there forever. It gets very mosquito-y and just a lot of people. And it's just, I like going out to see the stars for a little while, but I don't like to do it around that many people. So we went up there, it was just after dusk, and looked around for a little bit, and it was really kind of funny. My husband has a laser pointer, one of the really super strong green laser pointers that shoots way up into the sky, high enough that he has to be careful because it could actually, like if there's an airplane flying, he could actually reach the airplane and interfere with pilot vision, and that's not a good thing. It's actually illegal. So he has to be really careful, but he has it out there, and he was standing with me and my daughter and her friend and was pointing out some things, and these little boys who were standing a little bit further away just immediately started, "Oh my gosh, look at the laser!" And we're just so excited about the laser. So their mom brought them over and was asking questions about it, and he got his teacher on, and that was just... I enjoy watching when things like that happen. He's a very good teacher, and he's really good with these kids and shows them things without it sounding pedantic. So that was our Saturday night. That was a lot of fun. We stayed probably, I would guess, no more than 20 minutes, 25, something like that, and then headed back to Houston. On Sunday, Jimmy and I got up early while the kids were still asleep. They had plans to go to the movies later in the day, so they didn't want to go with us, but we drove about an hour and a half to Huntsville State Park. It's a little bit north of Houston. Huntsville is, like I said, about an hour and a half north. It wouldn't be so far except, oh, that sounds weird. There's not a direct route without going on busy freeways and through some areas where traffic tends to be a little bit more congested. Just a moment while I take a sip of coffee. So getting there was kind of a pain, but we had never been up to this particular state park, and it was very busy. I guess a lot of people camped for Easter weekend, and there were even, I think we got there probably around 10 o'clock, and there was already a line of cars to get through the gates. But we weren't there for picnicking or anything. We just went there to hike. So we parked, and we hiked for almost 2 hours and did a total of about just over 3.5 miles, I think, somewhere between 3.5 and 4 miles. Our various gadgets told us different stories. I'm going to go with my Runkeeper app, which said 3.56. Jimmy and I both use an app called Moves as well, which works kind of like a Fitbit. It tracks it, or it's a fancy pedometer, and it said 4 miles, but it's also cumulative, like a Fitbit is. So I'm going to guess it was closer to my Runkeeper app. But anyway, it was a really nice hike. It's a lot more hilly in that part of the area. I mean, a lot more hilly. Houston is basically on the coast. So it's very, very, very flat. We joke when we go up a small hill that we're at the highest point in Houston, and we're probably not that far off. But this park had, it was a lot of rolling hills, and it was on a lake. So in the Sam Houston National Forest. So there are parts of it that were very woody and reminded me a lot of the area in Mississippi where I grew up. And then, these other areas that went along the lake, and it was a really, really nice day. It was a beautiful day for a hike. It wasn't too hot yet, but it was fairly warm, and we were exhausted, but it was a fun day. And I actually, it has given me the camping bug, which is very unusual. A year ago, I would have told you that I did not have any interest in tent camping or hammock camping or car camping or any of these things. I would be willing to go camping if we had a shelter or a little cabin, but I wasn't interested in the, roughing it a little bit. That's changed. I've become a lot more outdoorsy in the past year, and I really enjoy being outside, and the idea of going out and camping and being in nature just really appeals to me. The thing that doesn't appeal to me about camping, though, is how, the proximity of the campsites to other people, because one of the things I like about being out there is the solitude. So I may be disenamored with it once we actually do it. I haven't been camping I haven't been tent camping in about 18 years. I was pregnant with Laura the last time we actually went camping, or real camping. I've done a couple of cabin or shelter camps since then, but those, I guess they count, but I haven't roughed it in a long time. And I'll be completely honest, part of my issue with camping is the bathroom situation. It's not using the bathroom in the woods. I could deal with that if I had, we're prepared for that. It's when we are so far away from an actual bathroom facility, and I sometimes have to get up in the middle of the night, and I don't want to walk across this campsite or get in my car and disturb other people or anything like that. So that actually is a deterrent. It's a silly deterrent, and one that I am willing to overcome. But there's a little bit too much information about my camping idiosyncrasies. Anyway, so that is what's on my mind now. Now I really want to go camping, and I'd really like to go to this particular park, but We'll see. I was actually looking at the calendar, and this particular place had a lot of campsites available for the weekend after school gets out. I haven't actually broached that topic with my family yet, but it is something that I am thinking about. Any plans for the upcoming month are just really up in the air. One thing I haven't talked about, and I'm not really asking for much. I mean, a nice, you know, thinking about you would be okay, but my stepmother is in the end stages of cancer. So we basically are expecting a call at any point to have to go back to Mississippi for a funeral. And, so that's really made planning things for the next little while a little iffy. I suspect that this will happen sooner rather than later. So looking farther into May probably is not an issue. But anyway, I hadn't planned on talking about that, but I put it out there. That could affect recording schedule for me and all of that. So yeah. Let's move on to knitting. Excuse me. Finished objects. I don't remember if I mentioned that I had finished my Collister last week. I think I mentioned it, but I hadn't actually blocked it. I know I hadn't blocked it because I didn't block it until this past weekend. I might have finished it and I might have talked about it then, but Collister is a cowl. It's a paid pattern by Kirsten Kapoor. I used Another Crafty Girl, Twinkle Sock, and Frozen, which is a beautiful yarn with blues and purples and sparkle, and it's just gorgeous. If you take a look at the cover of the movie Frozen, you will get a good idea of what the yarn looks like because Another Crafty Girl did a fantastic job with the color. I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background licking herself. She has got terrible allergies, and it just occurred to me that y'all might be hearing her. I apologize. There's not much I can do about it. Anyway, I did finish Collister. I got it blocked, and I've given it to my daughter, and she probably won't be able to wear it again and wear it until next year, but I finished it. It's really pretty. It's a very slouchy, airy cowl. The only other things I've done are very small things. I got 7 squares done for my sock yarn blanket. I had done 2 just with yarn that I had lying around, you know, finished the Collister, so I did a square out of that yarn, and I had some of the yarn I'm working with for my blurred line socks, which I'll talk about in a minute, and I made one out of that, and then had an Instagram conversation with a few people, and decided to start joining the squares before I ended up with too many. And actually, I thought I only had about 20. I have closer to 30, which is too many probably for the base of the blanket. So I'll have to get a little creative with joining it. But once I started joining these squares, I could not stop. So I ended up doing 5 more that day. And I'm having to keep myself from picking it back up because I will put down everything and just keep working on this. And while that is not a bad thing, it's not what I want to be doing right now. So I am trying to work on that like maybe a Sunday afternoon project. So those were great. I didn't actually make note of which ones I used. I have a lot of leftover yarn. I probably actually have enough scraps that I could do an entire blanket with just what I have. I would love to have more variety. So if anybody's interested in doing a mini skein swap, I would be very interested in doing that. I have more than enough to make a lot of mini skeins and could trade with several people. So if you're interested in that, let me know. The only other thing that I finished was a hexi puff in the Twinkle Sock, the Frozen yarn. And I did that the same day I did the first of the sock yarn blanket squares. So that's not very exciting FOs. One that I think I had finished last week and some little bitty objects. I am very close to being done with my whips, so let's move on to that. I have worked on my Hitchhiker, which is a paid pattern by Martina Bem. I am using the Spartacus dyes in Where Bluebirds Fly on the Will and Grace base, which is a beautiful rainbow base. Beautiful rainbow colorway. It's a variegated with short color repeats, so it's not a gradient or like a long color repeat. It's very, very pretty, and it has this one section where the oranges and the yellows were pooling, and I'm not usually an orange and yellow person, but I love this section. It just made me so happy every time I would get to that section where it was pooling. It's just this bright, happy spot in the middle of this already happy shawl. I am 31, I think I've finished 31 teeth. The one I had done before out of the Mad Tosh sock yarn in Spectrum was only 32 teeth. So I am almost at the point where I could bind off if I wanted to, but I have enough yarn to keep going. I'm going to guess I have enough for 34 or 35 teeth. So I'm going to keep going on that. I'm also working on still the Blurred Line Socks, which is another paid pattern, and this one is by Megan Williams. I'm using Fishnets yarn in the Fuji colorway, which is self-striping in various shades of green with a white thrown in. So pretty. And it's on her panache base, which I actually have, I don't know what the fiber content is. I'm going to guess that it's probably either 75 wool, 25 nylon, or 80, 20. Or it's probably close to that, but it also has sparkle in it. So whatever percentage that would be. It's a really pretty yarn. I actually had to rip back on this one. That is what I took with me when we drove to Huntsville last weekend. And I worked, I think I had done 3 stripes. And these are not unsubstantial stripes. They're about 7, excuse me, they are about 7 rows each. And I had gotten to, I actually was almost at the point where I could do the heel. And we were almost home and I looked down at it. Actually, I was working across and got to this purl stitch. I'm like, there should it be a purl stitch right here. And notice that the entire section I had done with that purl stitch there. And I said, nope, not thinking about this right now. I'm almost home. Put it aside and picked it up again yesterday and looked at it. I wasn't honestly sure exactly where I had gotten off. So I just ripped out and ended up having to rip back 2 full stripes to get to a point where I could pick it back up. Just because of the way I ripped it out. So that was a little frustrating, and it was pure error on my part, nothing about the pattern. And I managed to rip all that out. I got back to where I had left off and finished the heel last night. So I am well on my way to being finished with that. It's a toe-up sock, and I only did a short cuff. So I've got, at this point, I've got 3.5 stripes to go in the pattern, and then I did about three stripes worth of cuff. So I should be done with this by the end of the weekend. And I'm very pleased with the way these socks fit and the way they look. I think I said this last week, but I'm pretty sure the OMG heel is going to be my go-to heel from now on. I do need to do the Fish Lips Kiss heel and see if I like that one for comparison's sake. But other than that, I'm pretty sure this heel is my heel now. It's great. I am still working steadily on the Once Upon a Time sampler. I had to pick out in that one also, which was very frustrating. I finished the February square. Well, I thought I had finished the February square on Saturday. I Actually, I, after working on it yesterday, realized there was a tiny part that I had forgotten. So I actually hadn't finished, but I got done and was doing the last little, the last row, I believe, on what I was doing, and did a count and realized that I was off. And I wasn't sure if it was a big deal, and I figured out what was going on, and there was one motif that was two stitches too wide, which had pushed two of the motifs over by two stitches. And unfortunately, this is a sampler and it's done in a grid, which means that May, August, and November would have all had to be modified to make, you know, for them. If I kept it like it was, I would have had to add two stitches to that, which means I could not have ever forgotten about it throughout, you know, once I had made that mistake, it was made. I would have also, I wouldn't have had to adjust March because I haven't done the border on that side yet, so I could have just pushed it over and it wouldn't have been that big a deal, but I would have had to fudge the border a little bit to center it just because it would have driven me crazy if I hadn't. So while I had planned to keep going, I was convinced over Instagram that maybe it would be better to just rip it out. And I did, and I'm very pleased that I did that. I'm not finished yet with the square. I have to finish, there's one word that says smooch, and I have to do that tonight. I've mentioned in a couple of podcasts now that I am working along with Jen Study, who is, she's Jen Study on Instagram, and she is I Love Me Yarn, I think. Or is it Love Me Yarn? I know who you are. But I just can't quite remember. Actually, duh, I wrote it down. Love Me Yarn. There's not an I in there. Sorry, Jen. I am working along with her on this. And we've decided to start the March block on Monday and work on the border a little bit between now and then, which that's a very good plan. I probably would have gone just straight into March, but I like this idea because I don't really want to have to go back and do all of the border. And I think I can probably get quite a bit done between, today's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I can probably get quite a bit done. So that's everything that I have been working on. I don't have any hard and fast plans on what to pick up next. Oh, you know, I didn't mention, I did try another yarn dyeing experiment this weekend, and it didn't work very well. I tried to do just some solar dyeing, and I think I used too much yarn. I was over dyeing some Barocco Vintage, which is a wool acrylic blend. So I think that was part of the problem. I just didn't get the cover. So I have basically the green yarn is now just a little bitter, and I'm not bitter about this. There's a slight bluish purple tinge to it and then some reddish purple splotches on it. It might do something interesting. I may try to just completely over dye the yarn at some point since it was pretty much a failed attempt. It didn't bother me that I was just playing. I just wanted to see what would happen if I did this. And it didn't work like I planned. So I'll move on to another technique and try that. So that's it with knitting. I want to mention the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. We have a couple of entries for the March through June quarter. I'm not going to go into too many details about it. You can find out more information on the Ravelry group. Just basically, you can knit any item that is for a winter holiday and submit it. And you do have to be a member of the group. And I will draw the next prize on the first podcast after June 30th. So let's move on to In the Kitchen, which is super short, which is good because it's about time for me to leave for work. The only thing that I wanted to talk about was a restaurant we ate at after Huntsville State Park. This was Easter Sunday, so there wasn't a lot open, and we didn't want a big meal. So we were in Conroe, which is a town just north of Houston, about an hour, maybe not quite an hour north of Houston, but it's, there's, it, If you're not familiar with big cities, especially U.S. big cities, this may be a foreign concept to you, but in a big city, sprawling city like Houston, the suburbs, there's no distinction. So basically, you've got Houston and you've got this area called Spring, or a city called Spring, but it's just basically North Houston. And then a little bit further north is the Woodlands, and then a little bit further north is Conroe. And then just a little bit further north is Huntsville. There is a break between Conroe and Huntsville. There's not much of a break between Conroe, the Woodlands, and Houston. So, and there's some Houston geography for you. So Jimmy and I were looking for a place to grab some lunch. I mean, we had just hiked 2 hours. We were kind of hungry, but we didn't want anything too bad. We would settle for fast food, but that wasn't really what we want. So we pulled off the road in Conroe, not pulled off the road, but pulled off, near the freeway, and where there was an exit with some food, and pulled into a parking lot just to kind of get our bearings, see what was around us, check Yelp just to make sure that that's our go-to restaurant review source. And there was, in the shopping center, a barbecue place called Dickie's Barbecue. And if you're from Texas, you may have heard of Dickie's before. I had heard of it. There's one somewhere between here and Dallas that people talk about. I've heard people talk about it before, but we've never been. And so I Yelped it, and it got decent reviews. It was open. And so we decided, why not? We'll give it a try. And I was very, very pleased. I won't say that I'm a barbecue connoisseur, but I am particular about barbecue. I grew up in Mississippi, and barbecue in the South is a big thing. And I grew up with a dad who liked to grill, and we ate barbecue fairly often. When I was in high school, he got really big into barbecuing ribs, and I'm particular. And I'm particular about the style. When I moved to Texas, I was not particularly happy with Texas barbecue, which is, it's blasphemy if you're from Texas, but it was a lot of beef, and I've never been a big beef barbecue fan. I like brisket, okay, but it's not my favorite. I am a pork barbecue person, pork and chicken. And since the 80s, when I moved to Austin, the pork has made a big, it's been introduced into Texas barbecue a lot more. I could never find pork ribs when I was in high school, and now I can. Anywhere we go, that's pretty much what you're going to find is pork or pork ribs. But what this particular place had that is becoming more common, but you don't see it everywhere, they had pulled pork. So I got a pulled pork sandwich, and it was exactly what I had hoped it would be. And the bread was grilled, I guess. They had grilled the outside of the bun a little bit, and it was just pure pork, where a lot of places where I go, which we actually don't eat out that often anymore, but a lot of times the pulled pork will have sauce mixed in, and that's not what I want. I want just the pork and then a little sauce on the side. So that's exactly what this was. It was just pulled pork on a bun, and then they had three different sauces. I guess they had three. They had an original, a sweet, and a spicy. I'm not very big on sweet barbecue sauce, so I didn't get that one. I did taste my husband's, and it was pretty good. But I got the original, and I got the spicy, and just dipped my sandwich in it. And both of those sauces were really good. As a side, we both got fried okra, which I'm very particular about. It has to be really, really crispy. And this was pretty good. I only ate about half of it. And they also had free soft serve ice cream at the end, which was really nice. And I had to get up for a moment. They had soft serve, which was a nice touch at the end. And overall, I was just very pleased. The place reminded me of small town. I mean, it is a small town, but it was not big and chainy like a lot of the barbecue places around the Houston area. And I really liked that. The atmosphere had some to be desired, but it was okay. I really liked the food, and I am very eager to go back at some point. We did discover there is one apparently not too terribly far from us, but I don't really want it to become our go-to place. I want it to be some place we go occasionally, you know, when we're out and about. So, Jimmy had a chopped beef sandwich, I think, and he liked it. I don't think he liked his as much as I liked mine, but he liked it enough to be willing to go back. So there is my review of Dickie's Barbecue. So if you're ever, if you ever run across one, you have my recommendation. I guess that is it, which is good because I need to get out of the house. I really do like this Wednesday morning recording schedule. It works really well for me because typically I leave work at 4 on Wednesdays because I cover an hour of work from home for our text reference service. And but if I'm a few minutes late, I can leave a few minutes late without it being, I don't like to leave after 5. Leaving a little bit later between 4 and 5 isn't a big deal. So I like this schedule. How do y'all like it? I think I'm perkier in the morning when I'm drinking my coffee. Of course, I don't drink very much. I still got half a cup that I'm going to have to down as I leave the house. I will try to record again next Wednesday. Like I said, my schedule is kind of up in the air. We'll have to see. Hopefully my family circumstances won't interfere with my Into the Wall retreat plans. I don't think it will. They will. And I have sort of a backup plan for that if I have to. But, yeah. Things are, other than that obvious gorilla in the room, things are going really well. Work is going really well, which is very, very exciting. We've had some ups and downs lately, so we're on a good patch right now. I will talk to everybody soon, hopefully next Wednesday, and I hope you all have a great week. Bye.